Welcome to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, recovery coach professional. Do you love food, alcohol, drugs, sex, social media, cigarettes, or gambling a little too much? The traditional narrative says that addiction to these vices is the problem. The truth is, they are just symptoms. This hit show takes you from recovery to your ultimate life as my special guests and I help you discover how underneath every vice is the addiction to the suffering that developed due to unhealed trauma. So what can you do? Hungry for Answers provides groundbreaking, proven solutions from my best-selling spiritual book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. It's time to stop suffering and start living your ultimate life. You have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. Hungry for Answers starts now.
Hungry for Answers. In preparation for today's episode, I downloaded a documentary on addiction and recovery called Uprooting Addiction, Healing from the Ground Up. And I downloaded it on Vimeo if anyone is looking for it after our conversation today with the filmmaker, Hope Payson. I loved it. I was sharing with Hope earlier that I have a background in spiritual cinema film distribution. So I have watched many documentaries. And this documentary was so informative. It was so well done. And it really got me thinking about a lot of things. I thought I was prepared for the segment until I watched the documentary, and then I had even more questions. So we'll see if we can get to all the questions. One of the things that I found so interesting is, you know, they talked a lot about the opioid crisis, and there was a part of me that was like, oh, the opioid crisis. Is that still a crisis? Because we don't talk about it anymore. And I am so sure that it is still a crisis. And that's one of the things I want to talk with Hope about is what's happening with the opioid crisis. I mean, I know we've had a lot of crises in the past couple of years, but I think this is not one that we can lose sight of. So it's my pleasure to welcome Hope Payson, filmmaker, social worker, and addictions counselor to the show. So welcome, Hope.
Great. Thank you for having me. So glad to be here.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So Hope, I always start the show out by asking the question, was there a time in your life where you were so hungry for answers that you weren't even quite sure if you were ever going to get them? And when you did, what were they and why were they so helpful to you?
I thought that was such a great question. I mean, I think I was born with questions. I think I started questioning things very young. And I think the most pressing one that's troubled me perhaps the most and has a lot to do with the film has to do with suffering and pain and addiction. Mm-hmm. But it came from trying to understand why can you come from similar backgrounds and some people are able to get a peaceful life, are able to recover, and others continue to struggle. To me, that was a big question. In my field, we're often looking at what causes things, how do we fix it? But I was really interested in what starts it, who gets better, why they get better, and who can't, and what can we do for the people that are struggling still?
Yeah. So, in our initial conversation, you said to me that you thought we had a pain epidemic and not a substance epidemic. Can you explain to our audience what you meant by a pain epidemic?
Well, in the beginning, you mentioned the opiate crisis, which you are correct, has not changed at all. In fact, it's gotten worse since COVID got all the attention. The overdose rate is higher than it's ever been. In 1 year, more people will die than died in the entire Vietnam War of overdose. Yeah. That is directly related to people's pain, but it's also painful that it's not news. You know, that also talks a lot about addiction in our culture. There's so many things that people can get addicted to or compulsive about. I think we have that in our culture. I think most of us have something. So rather than looking at the symptom, which is the addiction, I like to look at the root, the pain, the way that we cope with pain. And if we address that in our culture, we have a better chance of offering a long-term solid recovery option for people. But as long as there's pain, and as long as it's regularly being inflicted on people and we're not healing, there'll always be a need for addiction. There'll always be a need to be compulsive, because that's what human beings do when they're in pain. They get compulsive.
You said there'll always be a need for addiction. So let's talk about that, because it sounds like you're saying that addiction is how we cope with pain. Would you describe it as that?
Yeah. For me, I'm a trauma therapist, so I look at trauma. But, you know, everybody defines what trauma is differently. I really think it's about pain. And pain can be come from so many sources. But I think it's a way to cope with pain. I think it's a way of addressing pain when there is no other way. There's other ways. We're going to take them. But if we feel trapped and we don't feel like we have options, then we're going to seek things that may not necessarily be comforting. Or they may be comforting in the short term, but not in the long term.
Yeah, very short term.
Yeah, for some. Like, you know, sometimes, but it's just enough, right?
It is. So in Feast and Famine, my last book, Healing Addiction with Grace, the message that I received in this channeled book was that suffering is our true addiction on the planet. So we are addicted to the suffering that we have that comes from the pain, and that then we will choose addictive substances, habits, vices, whatever we need to feel better to cope with the pain. So the solutions in Feast and Famine were about healing the trauma, healing the pain that created the suffering. And it was, I don't want to say it was, I was grateful to see that concept backed up in your film by all six of your people who have gone through addiction and are now in recovery. But it's such a universal message, I think, that this trauma and this pain that we experience, if not healed, creates suffering. And the suffering, we need something to feel better from the suffering. Do you think that in all the years that you've been an addiction counselor and coach and social worker, that people really understand that what is driving their addiction is their pain and their suffering?
I think that's part of the process, part of the healing process, is to see that, okay, you know, I've labeled myself this addicted person. I see myself as this compulsive person. Maybe I feel like a failure, but there's a reason, you know, and I have the responsibility once I locate the pain to do something about that and make the changes I need to. But it sure is easier if I can have some compassion for myself. I can see, oh, I see why I did what I did. You know, that answer was the beginning of a big change for me personally with my own struggles. But that's what I see happening in the movie with the people in the film. They all found their own way. And with others that heal, is that they found their pain, they addressed it, and they were able to then move forward in a different way. Yeah.
And I would say they found their pain and they addressed it and they moved forward in a different way. I would agree with you. But one thing that you said is that I think they also found their compassion for themselves.
Yeah.
And so can you share with our audience how does that fit into this desire to come into recovery? How do we get from this addictive, probably not liking ourselves too much, except maybe when we're high or whatever, to being compassionate for ourselves? How does that shift happen?
Well, it doesn't happen for everyone. And that is always one of my questions, is why can it happen for some and why do others struggle? But I do know that shame is a big piece of it. To me, shame's like this sticky tar pit. You can just get in there, stick in there and never get out, you know. And so part of the healing is to know that there was pain. This is how I dealt with it. I have choices I can do it differently, but I, you know, I have to get past that shame. And everybody does that differently. For some, it's an individual spiritual journey. For others, it's in a group. For many people, though, it's talking to someone else who says, hey, yeah, I know what you mean. Or that idea that everyone has some kind of addictive process somehow gets introduced. And we're hoping the film, you know, does a lot of things, has a lot of goals. But one of the goals is you could see yourself in one of these people in the film and say, okay, yeah, I've had that. I like that guy. You know, I care about that guy in the film, you know, and also make a cultural shift that people maybe who aren't struggling with addiction see that guy and say, yeah, you know what? I want to make sure that people like him have a place to go when he needs help, or people like her have that resource when they need it.
Yes. And so thinking about what you're saying, in my work, I work mostly with people who have made the leap,
the wonderful leap, and very proud of all of you that have made this leap into recovery. And I also think that each one of us is in recovery from something. So people associate recovery with just the things that get the most noise, right? Like drugs or alcohol. I mean, we've expanded that now to sex and gambling and food. But there are so many things that you can be in recovery from in your life.
Have you come across that in your private practice where people have to come in recovery from other things beyond the actual taking of the substance?
Yeah, kind of makes sense to me, because most of the people that I work with had kind of a difficult, very difficult childhoods with a lot of pain. And for different types of pain, you use different things. So alcohol might work for loneliness, but maybe food is going to work to get a sense of connection or belonging. So most people have more than one thing, because that's human nature. We're kind of crazily built for survival. I can do this, this, or this. So what I notice is most human beings have more than one survival skill, I'll call it, rather than a coping skill. So yeah, all of us, I think, do. You know, if it's not watching Netflix and eating too much food, it could be smoking, it could be gambling, it could be being perfect. You know, sometimes they're socially sanctioned. Addictive behaviors, being perfect, being super responsible, you know.
Yeah. And so how does someone recognize their coping skills? Like, how do they realize that, wow, I really want to move out of this? Like, what are some very common coping skills that you have seen in your practice?
Well, I think that the ones that are forged in pain are usually survival skills. So survival skills don't work well in the long run. And those are where we see a lot of addictive and compulsive behaviors. And life skills, or what some people call healthy coping skills, are the ones that actually work, you know. So I think that's the difference. You know, one causes pain, more pain, and the other actually connects us to ourselves and others.
Yeah, so we'll be talking more about that. This and this is really a very important topic, this connection to our own inner wisdom, because I am so confident that there is no answers that we don't have that are not inside of us. And so when we can start accessing our own inner wisdom with support from the outside, we can move from recovery to our ultimate life. So we're going to take a break now. This is Robin Clare, and you're listening to Hungry for Answers. And I'm here with Hope Payson, filmmaker of Uprooting Addiction. And we'll be right back.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We're back in that jazz mood, aren't we? I don't know. What happened to the rap music, Benny?
So, oh my gosh.
There you go.
Thank you, Benny.
I like it.
You're welcome.
I'm going to play that in my car.
Boy, I got to have me some baked something now. I'm telling you.
Get in the groove with Dr. Pat and her guests on Transformation Talk Radio. It's always something new around here. Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Learn how to RISE in business by being confident on video. Confidence coach Susan Axelrod and online business producer Pam Sullivan have teamed up bringing you a new podcast, Webcam Confidence for Women. Tune in live every first and third Friday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and stay for an open virtual presenter studio session. Offering attendees confidence on webcam, a must-have skill for every woman in business. For more information, visit volutionvirtual.com/studio.
Hello and welcome back to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare. If you'd like to learn more about my work, please go to clarity.com. That's clarity.com. And I'm here with Hope Payson, filmmaker, social worker, and addictions counselor. So Hope, how can people reach you if they want to learn more about the film or more about your work?
The film has its own website, uprootingaddiction.com. And there is, you can download a press kit to see all the background information. You could look at the trailer and you can access the way to watch the film.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's awesome. So I wanted to jump into the film, but there were a couple of things from the film that I just wanted to hear what you had to say. And I wanted to be able to share it with the audience. So all of the six folks in the show who you were following their story took something that you, that was called an ACE test, A-C-E. And can you talk about the ACE test itself and how it's scored and how do you know if you're, if you're more at risk or less at risk?
So the ACEs is the Adverse Childhood Experiences Scale. Super simple to take. Anybody could take it. If you Googled it, you would find it online. It's 10 questions, and it asks about 10 different ways that people experience pain or trauma growing up. And the score, now there's a huge study was done on the score and the implications. The higher your ACE score, the more likely or the more vulnerable you're going to be to an addictive disorder. So if you have a score of like 4 or more, the chances of having an addictive disorder greatly increase, along with other things like physical problems, like a risk of diabetes, high blood pressure. That's what it was originally was looking at, was the connection between physical problems and adverse childhood experiences. So we had everybody in the group take the test, and the average score was a 6. That is very high. The average American will at least score a 1. The kinds of questions that I ask are about exposure to domestic violence, sexual or emotional or physical abuse, the incarceration of a family member with mental health or addiction issue.
So you take the score, you look at it. It does not define who you are. It does not define your recovery. It doesn't mean you're broken. It hopefully can be used as a tool to have some self-compassion. Like, no wonder I have some of the symptoms I have. No wonder I struggle with some of my trauma symptoms. No wonder I'm vulnerable to addiction. If everyone took the test, if every doctor asked their client, you know, hey, your patient gets their blood work done, let's take your ACE test. They could have said to me, hey, Hope, your ACE score is 6. You need to be careful when you take opiates. You need to be careful when you drink. You're much more vulnerable, and we need to watch certain parts of your health more carefully.
Yeah, I love that. And you can see it makes sense, like right off the bat, from that you would be more vulnerable and maybe have a higher risk towards an addictive nature. But can you talk more about the correlation between the higher score and health risks, other health risks?
It's about allostatic load, which is a fancy way of saying how stress, chronic stress in childhood, wears on our body, wears on the system. We are secreting stress hormones at a much higher level than other people. It starts young, and because we get triggered by things and it becomes a pattern, it stays with us. So loud noises, hypervigilance, the things that trauma survivors have also increase your stress hormone level, which increases your inflammation levels, which makes you vulnerable to other things, but also can make you vulnerable to addictive eating, or perhaps not having the best self-care, or perhaps being afraid to go see a doctor and get regular medical care. So there's a lot of ways that really experience, because it's not just trauma, it's neglect. It's not just what happened to you. A lot of people have bad things happen to them, but it's what happens after the bad thing that defines whether it's going to be traumatic and how it affects your body. Bad things happen and somebody said, hey, Hope, that's not your fault. We're going to get you help. We're going to make sure that never happens to you again. That gets coded very differently in my body, and I don't go on to keep reacting in the future. So it's a very important study. And again, like the opiate crisis, really underreported. You know, really doesn't catch the eye of the media. I guess it's not flashy enough or interesting enough. But if we were to incorporate it into our way of being as a culture, our doctors would ask, we'd all know, there'd be no stigma, like, oh, hey, my ACE score is high. Not my fault, but I can take responsibility and do these things.
It's like a marker. Like other people have genetic markers. I'm not saying it's a genetic marker, but it's a marker or an indicator that you could have that you could have health issues. So let's go back just a sec in this conversation. Let's talk about trauma in children, because I think that people think that trauma in children is child abuse or child neglect, but trauma in children can be so simple. I don't know if simple is the right word, but we never know what event is going to create trauma in our lives. And so we don't really know. Like, I was actually thinking today about, you know, I have, I'm in recovery from obsessive compulsive food disorder and bulimia. And I was thinking, where did this begin? And this began very simply with my mother and grandmother deciding that I was too heavy and I needed to be on a diet at camp. And this experience was so humiliating to me. Every day at camp at lunch, you know, not getting to be able to eat dessert, and then I would leave crying. And who would know that that experience, which seems so innocent in its own way, my mom and my grandmother just wanted me to be healthier, right? Who would know that that could create a traumatic pattern for me? So I just want to ask you, Hope, like, I don't think that trauma in children is necessarily this, you know, horrible experience that people associate with it. And therefore, people don't think that maybe they even had childhood trauma if they feel that their childhood was okay. So what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I think that's why we might want to steer away from using the word trauma. It's getting used a lot right now, and I think that's important, but it isn't. It's about, we're going back to pain again. We're always going to end up back in pain. It's about painful experiences, misunderstanding. I see many people who have painful adult experiences because of a misdiagnosed learning disability. Lots of pain, feeling stupid, and less than. So if we just look at it as painful experiences, then I think we can all relate to that more, because people lump trauma into, well, you had to be sexually abused, physically abused, but it's a lot bigger than that.
Yeah.
And we don't ever talk about neglect. We never, who talks about what doesn't happen, right? There's so many times. And then there's the just a gentle temperament connection between a parent and a child. What happens if you're born with a different temperament that your parents know how to handle? You know, nothing traumatic there, super painful. I was born asking questions, and I am not kidding. I was like looking at everybody and asking questions. That was not the right temperament for my family. Nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with that reaction to my family, but the two together set me on a path of shutting myself up for a long time. Yeah. You know, and healing was to start asking again and to find out there was nothing wrong with me for asking.
Yeah.
So I think, would that be called trauma? Maybe not. Was that a defining painful thing for me, among other things? Yes, it was probably bigger than sexual abuse or physical abuse for me. It's this idea you need to shut up, Hope. You know, so.
And I think in our generation, that was huge. You know, children should be seen and not heard. Right. So we had to always sit there and not say anything, no matter what. And then, you know, I think as our children and even this new generation of kids, they, you know, they're encouraged to share their feelings and encouraged to challenge the status quo, maybe too much. So I think they have more power than they do in the family dynamic. But I do believe that, I love this idea of this ACEs test. Tell us again, can you say the name of it?
It's the Adverse Childhood Experiences Scale. So if you Google it, there's tons of really credible websites like ACEs Connection, ACEs Too High. There's some great websites, and read about it and look at how the impact may have on you and your family. It might be helpful.
Yes. I really think people should take that test. And see, you know, the higher the adversity on there, the higher the score, the more risk for maybe addictive behavior or illness. And I think it would be good to know that, like you said, that, you know, maybe you should be careful about taking opioids, even if you're injured or if you're, you know, drinking alcohol. So we're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, and my guest, Hope Payson, filmmaker of Uprooting Addiction. And I promise you, we will get to the film next.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit clarity.com. That's Claire, Clare-ity.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on The Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. at 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Ascending with the Arcturians with Vivian Chouvette. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio every second and fourth Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are shifting from this third dimensional plane of reality to higher octaves of life. Let us reclaim our sovereignty as a united family of light and manifest the planetary ascension, our return to Prime Creator. For information on our services and to connect with Vivian, visit infinitehealingfromthestars.com.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
And welcome back to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare. To learn more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y. And I'd like to give away to the first caller a copy of my book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. So you can do that by calling 1-800-930-2819. So I'm here with Hope Payson, filmmaker for Uprooting Addiction. And Hope, tell people how to be able to download the movie.
Okay, so to download the film, you go to Uprooting Addiction, and there is a section that says View the Film, and that will allow you to see it through Vimeo On Demand or Apple TV.
Yeah, and it's very reasonably priced too. It's $3.99 to just watch it, or $11.99 to download it. But do you also, Hope, offer like group screenings and things like that?
We do. Yeah, we plan community events where we show the film for free and then have a discussion afterwards. That originally was what the film was made for, to get community conversations going. And we had regular screenings until COVID. And we had some online screenings. So we did quite a bit throughout Connecticut and different states. And we're about to go on a road again. We'll be in Vermont doing a showing next week, actually, our first in-person showing.
Yeah, that's very cool. A mutual community member, Kelvin Young, and I just invited him on the show in August to talk about human connection and community, because that seemed to stand out for him. And I'm thinking, how important is that? You know, community is so important for addiction, so, or for recovery, I should say. So let's talk about the movie, Uprooting Addiction, Healing from the Ground Up. Let's first talk about the title and what the title means for you.
Well, with titles, we spent quite a few days and weeks, months actually, talking about what to call it. But the reason we stayed there was we had an original retreat that we filmed that was built around a tree. And the tree was symbolizing, the leaves were the addictions, the multiple addictions that people struggle with, but the root was where they all started. So, and a lot of the conversations that we have around the film are about the multiple roots, the many sources of pain that people have dealt with, like we've already been talking about on this show. So that the uprooting piece is, let's look at that. Let's stop looking at the top of the tree. Let's stop focusing on the power of certain chemicals or the power of certain addictions. Let's look instead why people need them. And if we can do that, then they maybe don't need them anymore.
So. Yeah, one of the scenes in the film that I really appreciated is you had the roots and all the different pain points. And then you also had the center. I'm going to call it the center of the tree, you know, where people were talking about their stories and how they were perceived. And then some, at some point towards the end of the film, you had everybody come up with a new piece of paper and talk about how they see themselves today. And I thought that was very powerful, because we tend to see ourselves based upon what's transpired in our past. You know, we label ourselves, and we see ourselves based upon how people see each other. This is a cute little story. I was with my brothers for a holiday, and my brother said to me, you know, Ori, that's my husband. They said, Ori is really spiritual now. And I was like, Ori who? Like, I was so used to thinking of him, you know, just as my husband, you know, as the person that he was, that I sort of missed that he had really gone very far on his spiritual path, and that they were seeing him and pointing out to me that he had a new identity. And I think it's really important, as we grow on our spiritual path and on our recovery path, to check in and say, what is our new identity? How do we want to be known? And certainly not based upon what was wrong in the past, but what's right in the present. So what do you think about that? And was that the point of that exercise in the film?
Yeah, the point is about self-definition. We're bigger than our pain. We're bigger than the things that we do to medicate our pain. We were always bigger than that, and we always will be. And the question at the end was, how do you define yourself now? Who are you now? Or I guess the real question is, how do you see yourself now? Because you were always a wonderful person. Many of the people in that group already were incredible human beings, whether they were suffering or not. But how do you define yourself now? And people got up, and it was an exhausting day, but it was a really emotional day, because we all started with the roots and we told each other our story. And by the way, I didn't know many of these people, and this was in my home. It just came to my home. They threw it all down, and they told that story, you know, in front of the film crew, blew all their anonymity. And it was, by the end of the day, the film crew, who was not in the field and was not that well acquainted with recovery, was so impressed. They're like, this is a documentary. I was shooting a film clip for a conference presentation. They're like, no, this is a full-on documentary. This is amazing. And it was because of the mix of the incredible people in the room, you know. But it was, who are you now? How do you define yourself?
Yeah. So those of us who are listening that are on the spiritual path would know that when you take on a challenge of a project that is supported by the divine or the universal energies, it's in the highest and best interest of the people who are going to participate. Always the right people show up, mm-hmm. right? Now, you did a lot of work to get the right people, and I could put that in air quotes, the right people, but there's an individual component for each person that's coming, right? Each person comes as their own individual, but then they also become part of the collective energy of the group. And that was very apparent to me as someone who is an energy healer, that you could see the individual energy, but the group assembled was also very powerful. So I would encourage everyone who's going to download this film to check that out, to check out what happens when people who have the same destiny and the same desire come together. It's really where miracles happen. And I think that's what's happening in this film. I think for those who can watch this, whether you're a person who is struggling or a person who wants to help someone else who may be struggling at the moment, it will give you a lot of answers. So what was your inspiration behind the film?
I don't think I knew what it was until recently, and this is 6 years ago. I think I lost my brother, who died of suicide, and he had been drinking at the time. He had struggled for a long time with alcohol and with his own pain, a lot of significant pain. And not long after his death, I get involved with this project. You know, I don't realize at the time what I'm doing. but I am looking to try to figure out how do people heal in a much deeper way. And I want the world to know about people in pain and understand them more. So I don't realize that. I'm thinking I'm just doing this for my work. And later, after the process is over, like even now, I'm realizing, oh, this is like a love song to my brother. This is me showing the world, look at how incredible people are and how they have the potential to heal. Or even when unhealed, when unable to, how it's worthy, it's a worthy endeavor and it's important. And I wanted the world to see and love the people in the film enough to think we need to change the way the system is. We need to have treatment on demand. We need to make sure that when people are incarcerated, they're loved and they get attention, not punishment. I think that's what it was for me. Yeah.
And so do you feel that you, with the film, you would...
Yeah, I think I did. It held me off from some intense grieving, the busyness. When it slowed down, I got to do that and still doing it. But yeah, I think now I see it differently. Like it's about my brother and my love for him and everyone who's suffering.
Yes, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so again, how can people download this film, Uprooting Addiction, Healing from the Ground Up?
You go to the website, uprootingaddiction.com. You can view the film. There's a tab that allows you to view it or purchase it.
Yeah, one of the things that I was curious about, did you have to coach any of the six diverse film interviewees on how to share their story? Did you feel the need to do that?
Yeah, absolutely not. No. No, it was supposed to be very organic. And we actually had 13 people. And the painful part was that we didn't have enough time to, in the film to feature every one of them. So that was difficult. But the universe took care of it, because during some of their interviews, it rained so hard we couldn't hear them in the film footage and we couldn't afford to refilm. So it eliminated some people. But no coaching. It was no.
Yeah, there's the universe at work, right?
I guess so.
What do you think the six diverse film interviewees gained from this experience?
I'm not sure. We'd have to ask them all, but we're kind of like a family now. Like it was a stressful experience that kind of forged us together, and we still communicate. And I feel very close to them all. And I think they all feel that way too. Anytime there's a film showing, they'll all show up every single time if you ask. So.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. So we're heading into a break now. This is Robin Clare, and you're listening to Hungry for Answers. And I'm here with Hope Payson, who is the filmmaker of Uprooting Addiction, Healing from the Ground Up. And we'll see you soon.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune into the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
So welcome back to Hungry for Answers. This is Robin Clare, and I'm here with Hope Payson. And we're talking about the film Uprooting Addiction, Healing from the Ground Up. But I'd like to switch now to your work, Hope, as a social worker and an addictions counselor. So can we talk a little bit about that? Who are your main clients, and how do you help them?
Most of the people that I work with have a history of traumatic experiences, a lot of pain growing up, and have some addictive disorder. Not everybody that I work with, but quite a few. And it's the process very similar to what we talked about in the film in the tree. We look at the current issue. I ask them what they want to work on, what they're interested in doing in therapy. And then we look at the pain and we trace it back. And we try to see what's been healed, what hasn't been healed, how do they want to work on it. It's very collaborative. I'm the social workers. We tend to work creating a treatment plan together. And then we start the journey. It's really interesting. I tend to work with people fairly long term. I have.
Mm-hmm. And do you work with their families as well? Or okay. And that question. And do you sometimes have family members come in on their own to work with you to understand more about what's going on with their loved one?
Yeah, sometimes people bring in family members, so that can be part of it.
Mm-hmm. And do family members ever come on their own like that? So for me, I'm asking this because even though I was still active in addiction, my food disorders, I went to a food disorder therapist to learn how to break the cycle with my children. Like I knew I wasn't ready myself to come into recovery, but I needed to know how to talk to them about food and how to talk to them about positive body image. And so I found that really important. So in hiding in that little statement that I just made is the importance of the person who is brave enough to go into recovery or to get help, like talking about how they are helping the generations of their families going backwards and going forwards by being brave enough and having the courage to come into recovery and heal from addiction. What are your thoughts on that topic?
Well, I think, as a therapist and as a person who wants to help people heal, I've sometimes gotten overwhelmed by the amount of pain in the world and wondered if seeing one person at a time would have much of an impact, which is why I started doing public presentations and why I did the film, to see if we could spread it a little more. But what I learned also is that each healed human being has a capacity to change, the entire way their family is going to move forward. They parent differently. They love differently, they connect differently, and that has a ripple effect. And every one of those children is now going to have a different life. They also, many of the people I work with get actively involved in the recovery movement or in other kinds of advocacy. So it really has that huge ripple effect that we hope for. So it makes me feel like one day I can retire, because I was like, how am I ever going to retire? It's such immense pain, you know, but each human being, you know, each one changes everything, you know, in their world in life. You know, if I'm healed and I believe I have the right to speak, I am good enough. All my interactions are different from that base versus I need to keep my mouth shut and I'm not good enough or I'm damaged. Everything is different that I do when I come at the world that way. So therefore, I don't have to heal everyone in the world or try to. I can't heal anybody, actually, but I don't have to try so hard to create healing situations. So that brings me great hope.
Yes. And makes me think of this concept that the concept of enlightenment, that you are in, you are holding the light. To me, that's the simplest explanation. And I believe that we can hold more light in this world the more healing that we do. So that inside of us, we feel calm and clear. And so that way we can hold the light of our own soul's energy more deeply on a day-to-day basis. And so in recovery, and everyone that you help, Hope, who now can hold their own light, you know, their light is not hiding behind something in their whole system because it's afraid, right? It's afraid of being abused or being traumatized. And so their light or their soul energy is now upfront and present. And so then even the people that you talk to in the supermarket, or that you say hello to, or you smile and let them go first, you know, with their car. To me, that's part of that ripple effect that you're talking about. So I think it even expands beyond our family and friends when we can take that out. I remember my son was teasing me and he said, do you have to smile at everyone? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel that that's part of sharing my light. So how does that resonate with you, that concept of being enlightened and being able to share that light that is inside of you?
Well, I think about when I listen to people's incredible pain and I wonder, what did they tap into to get better? I often hear these tiny little stories about, for me, it was my guidance counselor saying, hey, Hope, what college are you going to go to? He didn't ask me what college. He didn't ask me, are you going to college? He said, what college? That tiny thing made me think, this guy thinks I could go to college. And I started to think I could go to college. Now, I don't remember his name. He doesn't remember me. He doesn't realize that he changed a pattern for me. I started to think, I'm somebody who can go to college. So sometimes it's just a small thing, you know, that can make a big change. And you don't realize you've done it. You've moved on. This guy moved on. So, I think about that. If you use the analogy of light, a little tiny light went on for me. Like, maybe I can go to college. Well, going to college changed my whole life. And I have to thank that man, but I don't even know his name. You know, so, yes. And where did he get that question from? So that's how much power we can have. We don't have to be, call ourselves healers. We don't have to be social workers. I don't have to be in that capacity. I could say something nice to someone on the street, you know, and if we all did that, you know, it would be transforming.
Yeah, and I loved his language, this guidance counselor, because it was very much about the law of attraction, right? It was aligned with seeing yourself, him seeing you in a positive way,
yes.
Right? And he saw that. And my parents did that with me. They're like, what college are you going to? There was never a question if I was going to college, because that was their expectation, right? Mm-hmm. But that is not every parent's expectation. So I think that it's up to us to see the life that we most desire, really see it, put it out there for the universe to help us to achieve it. I imagine, really honestly, that you probably had to do that for this film. On some level, you had to see the potential that this film had to help others. And by holding that vibration or that potential out for the film, you were able to accomplish it, mm-hmm. right? If you only thought about what could go wrong, it never would have happened. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I just kept moving forward, and I would send, it happened through email. I'd just say, anybody know a filmmaker? Filmmaker answers me. I don't know any filmmakers. Anybody want to tell their story and blow all their anonymity? 13 people stepped up. You know, it was like that. It's been like that since the beginning.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So we're coming towards the end of the show. And I want to remind our listeners that if you're struggling with addiction, to know that you are never alone. There are professionals out like Hope who can help you and others who can help you. There are groups that can help you. And you can also connect to your own inner divinity and check in on an internal, in an internal way to help you manage life. And so I'd like to thank you, Hope, for being with us. This was really interesting and very helpful to, I think, our recovery community. And I encourage everyone to go to uprootingaddiction.com to download the movie. And also, I am a writing coach. I'm a recovery writing coach, which means that I help people in recovery who have an amazing story. I help them to write their book. So go to clarity.com, C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y.com to sign up for my free 30-minute consultation. And so until next time, everybody, have a wonderful day and a wonderful life, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for tuning into Hungry for Answers. Learning to love ourselves is the one true solution to addiction. Make a commitment to healing today and see how you can reach your ultimate potential. Remember, you have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. To learn more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.